Revelation chapter 3, verse 5 says this, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Amen. I've said so many times, as far as the world's concerned, nobody knows our name, right? We're nobody famous, nobody special, but we get to have our name dropped in heaven. Amen. We get to have our name called in heaven if our name is found in the book of life. Now, all of you who have phones, you know your name is in that phone somewhere. And because of that, they're able to track you. They know exactly where you are. They know who you have as friends. They have all your contact information just because of your phone. The social networks, they know where you are. They know what you probably ate last night. If you ordered any food delivered, they got all of that information down. So there is a secular book, so to speak, or data collection that knows everything about you. You know, you go somewhere and an ad pops up because you went and looked at some other product. Suddenly, you just keep getting ads for that product. It's because they've been tracking you. They know what you have been looking at. Amen. And your name is written in their book. There's a giant computer called a Titan, and it's one of the world's most powerful computers. And your name goes through there probably 5 or 6 times a day. Your name is in many computers all over the world, and so they know who you are. They've got you down in their book. This particular computer can do millions, in fact, billions, trillions of calculations per second. Your name probably flies through there so many times. The other day, I said to my son, I needed him to do me a favor. And in doing that favor, he would have had to put his name out there. So I said to him, I'll tell you what, just to show you your name is out there, just put your telephone number in Google. That's all you have to do. Just put your telephone number in Google. And you should try it. He was shocked at the amount of information it had, who he was married to, the name of his children, where he lived, his previous house. It knew everything about him. That's all he had to do was put his number in there. So these are some books. There are, today we don't call them books, but there are computers that have your name in them. Amen. And previous to that, before the rise of computers, there were so-called religious books that people had written that were supposedly given to them by God. The Quran was given over a 22-year period to Muhammad, he claimed, by the angel Gabriel, starting sometime in December of the year 609 AD. Well after Jesus, of course, hundreds of years after Jesus, he claimed that he went up into a cave and the angel Gabriel gave him, dictated to him the Quran. And then we have the same thing with the Book of Mormon. Joseph Smith claims that Gabriel also gave him these golden plates with the Book of Mormon on it. And so we see that there have been many claims made about various types of books. But those books don't represent life. Those books are written ostensibly by men. There are some Hindu books. There's the Hindu religion, and they have these books called the Vedas, and that means knowledge. And it was given by their Lord Krishna, supposedly. And they have all kinds of stuff in there, but, you know, those books do not give you life. But there are some books that are written by men but come from God. Amen. And there are many books mentioned in the Old Testament that we don't have access to today. But what we do have access to is enough to be saved. That's the important thing. God has made sure that what he has given us is enough to be saved. In Genesis chapter 5, it lists the generations. It's called the Book of the Generations of Adam. And it starts out with Adam, and then it gives his son Seth, and then Enos, and then Kenan, Mahalalel, and it gives the generations, and it's called the Book of the Generations. And in Exodus, the law is called the Book of the Covenant, because today we're under a new covenant, a new testament, But in the Old Testament, that was called the Book of the Covenant, the Torah. The law was called the Book of the Covenant. But Paul says about the law that it was a ministry of death, because all it did was show us how sinful we were. You know, it couldn't actually fix the sin problem. All it did was highlight all my mistakes and my faults. So that was not necessarily a book of life. And then we have a reference in Numbers 21:4 to the book of the wars of the Lord. Because I'm so grateful that he's fought some wars. The Bible says in Joshua 5 that when Joshua went up the mountain, he came across the commander of the Lord's armies. He says, I'm about to go have a fight. Amen. It wasn't Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, as the song says. It was the Lord that fought the battle of Jericho. Amen. They didn't do no fighting, really. All they did was march around and shout. Amen. Amen. March and shout. Amen. And then we have a reference to this book called the Book of Jasher in 2 Samuel 1:18. And not much is known about that book. But here's what we do know. We do know that what God has given us is enough for life. Amen. Joshua mentions the book of the law again in Joshua 8:24. And then we have the book of the Acts of Solomon mentioned in 1 Kings 11:41. We have the book of Gad the seer mentioned in 1 Chronicles 29. We have the book of Nathan the prophet mentioned in Chronicles. And the book of Shemaiah the prophet. There's all these other books that are mentioned in the Bible. But what we know is that what we have is sufficient for life. We have the book of Jehu of the son of Hananiah in 2 Chronicles. And we have this other one called the book of records in Ezra 4:15. So I'm going to look at some of these books because I want to end up showing you the difference about having your name in the book of life. Amen. Of those books, the first one that is mentioned is the book of the generations. And in Genesis 5:1, it says this. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them and called their name Adam. And in this case, it means mankind. In the day when they were created. You see, there are some books that God has allowed man to write. They were given by him, but he allowed man to write them. But there are some books that were so important that he didn't even allow man to write them. And I'm going to give you those three books because these books are really interesting. In Malachi 3:16, it mentions the book of remembrance. Do you know God is looking at all the things you do? Amen. Nobody may know all the things you do for him. The times you're praying for someone in your closet. The times when you call someone and encourage them. But God is watching. The Bible says he's got a book of remembrance. He's writing down all the things you're doing in the kingdom. Because he is a rewarder of them. Amen. That diligently what? Seek him. He is not going to be owed by any man. God has got some rewards for you. He's got some blessings for you. Amen. So we see in Malachi that there is this book of remembrance that is written. I wonder if someone could find that for me. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. I didn't put the full thing here, but all right. Well, I'll read it out here. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. He listened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. If you want to get into that book of remembrance, it's very easy. All you have to do is start reverencing God, to think about him, think about his goodness. The testimonies this morning, that was reverencing God. That was thinking about his goodness and all that he has done. It said, them that feared the Lord spake often one to another. That's why we have to come here, so that we can speak to one another. I can hear your testimony. It encourages me. Sister Bernstein's testimony encouraged me so much. You know, put in hospice for fourth stage cancer. Amen. And she's here today to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. And it said they spoke often one to another. Amen. That's what we're doing when we come here. We're encouraging one another to get through. Sometimes We are going to face trials and tribulations. And that's why we need to get together. That's why we have to assemble together to encourage one another. It's all very well sometimes watching it remotely, but I would encourage everyone who is, it's time to come on back to church. Amen. Let's get together so that we can encourage one another. It said a book of remembrance. God has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten the things you have been through. Sometimes we think that he has and that he's not looking at us, but he knows every single thing that we have been through. And it says the thought upon his name. A lot of time, my getaway time is in my car. You know, when I'm in my car, put on my praise music, and I just start to meditate on the goodness of God. Most of the times, I have to put on my dark glasses. You know why? I start weeping. I don't want them to think, what's this crazy person next to me going to do? But I'm in my worship. I'm just thanking God for all the things he's done, the miracles that he has done, the breakthroughs, the deliverances. Amen. As the song they sang, I think, last week, when I think about the Lord. Amen. When I think about the Lord. Amen. So, but there is also another book. It's called the Book of Judgment of the Dead. Revelation 20:12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You know, if you don't get saved the easy way, then your book is the one going to be read. Your name is going to be read, and everything you have done, you're going to have to give an account for. That's what in the book of Hebrews it says, it's appointed unto all men once to die, and then the judgment. Nobody gets away with anything. Do you know that? Nobody gets away with anything. It may seem, you know, that someone is getting away with stuff, but no, they're going to have to give an account. There is a judgment day. It is a real day. It is a real thing. It's not a myth or a fable. There is a judgment day. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. If you don't let Jesus write your book, then you're going to have to write your own book. And that story may not be as good. In fact, it can't be. Amen. I don't want to be judged on my works, because my works have some mess in it, have some failures in it, have some things that I'm not proud of in it. Amen. That's why we need to use his book. This is the time when we can have his book and his words written upon our life. That's what it says in Ezekiel 36. He says, I was going to write my law upon their heart, not on books of stone anymore, but directly. When he writes our book, then it's going to be a good story. It's going to have a happy ending. Amen. The third book that was mentioned that God reserved to himself to write is the book of life. So we have the book of the remembrance, we have the books of the judgment of the dead, and then the third book that God has reserved to himself to write is the book of life. Amen. Revelation chapter 3 verse 5 says, he that overcometh. You know, it's a fight. It's not just walking down and it's easy. It's an overcoming. It says, he that overcometh. You have to have a very made up mind. You have to be determined. Because there are so many things to discourage you, so many things to take your joy, so many things to make you think, what's it all about? Have I made a difference? See, even, you know, I won't say even me, but there are times when I think, Lord, what am I doing? Am I doing any good? Have I achieved anything? You know, the devil will tell you, oh, you've done nothing. You're wasting your time. Many years ago, I used to hear, this is 30 years ago, they said Milwaukee was the preacher's graveyard. Amen. If you come to Milwaukee, just come to die. That's what you do. You know, there is lots of discouragement. There is lots of things you're going to have to overcome. As I preach, there's a cross for every one of us. You don't get so high in God that you escape any kind of, in fact, the devil attacks you more. He attacks you more. He knows if he can strike the shepherd, then the sheep will scatter. Amen. So you need to pray for me. Amen. You need to pray for me. But here is my hope, that my name is written in the book of life. Because that's a promise from Jesus, that if we would walk according to his word, hallelujah, if we would just put our faith and trust in him, he would write our name. He would make sure our name stays in. It says, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Isn't that awesome? But I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. God is going to be saying your name. My name has never been called in the Congress. My name has never been called. Your name has never been called in Buckingham Palace. Amen. Not to my knowledge anyway. Your name has never been on Fox 6 News. Hopefully it won't, because usually if it is, it's usually not a good reference. Amen. But here's something. Your name has been called in the halls of heaven. Amen. We see an example of that in the Old Testament, isn't it? When Satan came by to accuse, he said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" He called him by name. Maybe your name has been called lately, and they've said, "Hast thou considered my servant Tanya or my servant Sister Johnny?" And you're wondering why the devil's mad at you, because God's been calling your name. Amen. God's been calling your name and saying, you know, I'm well pleased with them. They've been going through, they've been under pressure, but here they are worshiping. They've come to church despite all the things that should destroy them. Amen. Because he does go about as a roaring lion, seeking to destroy who he may. So the Father is confessing our name. Hallelujah. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. You know what? He's confessing our name. You know what we should be doing? Confessing his name. Hallelujah. Amen. We should be calling upon his name. We should proclaim his name down here. Amen. We should proclaim, we should proudly proclaim his name. I believe in Jesus. I go to church. I believe in speaking in tongues, as the scripture said. I don't believe that was just something for the disciples and the apostles, but it's unto everyone that believeth. Hallelujah. As Jesus said, amen, to Nicodemus. Amen. So the power that comes to us over the enemy is great. It's great when we receive the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, Jesus gave his disciples authority and power to go out and to cast out demons and to heal the sick. Let's read that. And he told them to go to the household of Israel, to go to the cities of Israel, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 8. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. That's our message. That's what we're supposed to be preaching, to telling people that the kingdom of God is now here. We can get into the kingdom through the Spirit, through being baptized. But into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you not, then go your ways and out into the streets of the same. And I say unto you, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. So not everywhere we go will we be welcomed. But that doesn't mean we don't go. Amen. We may be rejected. You may knock on a door. I remember a couple years ago we went through this neighborhood and we knocked on that house about on 22nd Street, and he got really upset. He got really angry, but we just said, bless the Lord anyway. Amen. Even to the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, and we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. See, when we go and we get rejected, we're still witnesses. We're still proclaiming God. It doesn't matter if they reject us. But here's the thing that's so important is verse 17. He says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They were happy that they had been able to see miracles and things happen. But Jesus then said, listen, there's a greater reason to have joy than just that. And here it is. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. You have a reason this morning to rejoice. You may not have had your healing miracle yet, but you can still rejoice. Why? What does the scripture say? because your name is written in heaven. You may have been praying for a certain miracle or deliverance. It hasn't happened yet. You can still rejoice. You can still have abundant life because your name, he says, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You see, sometimes what we pray for doesn't happen right away, but we are still his child. Don't let the devil deceive you because it hasn't happened right away. Because as I said, I think yesterday in the class I was teaching, maybe not here, that there is spiritual warfare. We're battling against principalities and powers. Amen. And there is a real fight going on. Amen. It's not an imaginary fight. It's not a mythical fight. It's a real fight. It's a spiritual battle. And in the end, I know we win. In the end, I know we win. Amen. As I said, the real reason to rejoice is that our name is written in the book. That's what Jesus told them, that your name. You know, I know I'm repeating it, but we're talking this whole month about abundant life. And in Hebrews, it says about Jesus that all things were under him. But it went on to say, but it doesn't appear. We can't see it right now. It's just like when he went on the mount. They weren't prepared for what he was about to reveal. They couldn't see the glory until he revealed it. Sometimes God's glory is hidden for a little bit. It says we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. It doesn't look like much from the outside. You know, in olden days, that's where they used to hide their treasure because they would think someone broke in. They wouldn't go for the old beat-up clay jar. They'd go for the gold jar. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels. On the outside, it doesn't look like much. It doesn't look like it's worth much. But that's where the treasure is. That's why we don't maybe see everything that God is doing because it's not yet manifest. Just as how for 3.5 years when Jesus walked this earth, they couldn't see who he was until he went up on the mountain and revealed who he was. But rather rejoice. Amen, because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. You see, the author of those three books we know is Jesus. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, that is the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. Now, I taught a whole thing, I think last year, on the book in Revelation. When John has his vision, when he goes up there, he sees one sitting on the throne holding a scroll, a book, written on the inside and the outside. And many have speculated what that book is, but I'm really convinced, based upon this scripture, Revelation 13:8, what the book is, because only the Lamb slain was worthy to open the book. Only through Jesus' death do we get life. Do you see that? Only through his death on Calvary do we get our opportunity to have abundant life. Revelation 13:8 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names, that's speaking in the Antichrist, are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, the scripture in the Old Testament tells us a lot about this book because it's written on his hands. You know, they say the only man-made thing in heaven is the wounds that we put on Jesus. He kept those wounds even when he arose from the dead. We know that because he appeared and he said, look, here, Thomas, you don't believe me? Put your hands. See, here is my wounds. He kept those wounds for a reason because the scripture tells us that they represent our names. Let's look at that. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 13 says, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and I will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. That's us. A lot of times we say, Lord, you've forsaken me. When we're at, you know, in the hospital, I'm sure, sister, when you were in the hospital at times, you felt, man, I'm not going to come out of here. They've pronounced the death sentence over me. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. But here's God's promise. He says, can a woman forget her nursing child? that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, even they may forget. They may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God said his love is stronger than a mother with a nursing child. He will not forget you. He says, the reason I can't forget you, and verse 16 is the powerful verse. He says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Those nails grave your name, were etching your name when it went through his hands. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. He can't forget you because that's what the nails represent. That was your name. Every time the man, the flesh, looks at that, he's got to remember our names. Isn't that powerful? Not only that, in the Old Testament, the high priest used to have the names written on each stone, right? He had the 12 stones. When he went before the Ark of the Covenant to pray, he could never forget the names of the 12 tribes because there they were. They had to present that before God. Amen. So Exodus 28 and 29, whenever Aaron enters the holy place, he will bear the names of the sons of Israel over his heart. That is modeled in Hebrews 9. I didn't put it in here, but in Hebrews 9, the Bible says that he is entered into the most holy place on our behalf with his own blood. When Jesus goes, it's not graven on stones, it's graven on his hands. On his hands, the Bible says, your name is graven, is etched on his hands through the nail prints. Every time he's acting as high priest for us, your name is right there. That's why we should have some hope. That's why we should not be too depressed. We shouldn't be like men, most hopeless, you know, who'd have no hope. You know, people have no hope. They usually take their lives. But as a Christian, we should always have the hope. Amen. That we have an abundant life yet to come. This is not life. This is just the birth pangs. This is just the travail. You know, before the baby is born, there's some pain. I'm so glad I'm not a woman. All you men in here, aren't you glad you're not a woman? You know, I've watched all four of my children being born, and every time I'm amazed at how that works. And that's why they say women have a much higher pain tolerance than men. And they have to. They have to. So this is just the birth pangs. That's what Paul describes it. We're just going through the travail. In Romans, he says, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, right? To wit, waiting for the redemption or the revelation of the children of God. See, we're just about to be born into the eternal kingdom. Hallelujah. See, this is just the travail part. We're going into the abundant life. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, whenever Aaron enters the holy place, I will bear the names of the sons of Israel over his heart on the breastpiece of decision as a continuing memorial before the Lord. But we have even a greater engraving because Jesus said, your name is written on my hand. I can never forget. Hallelujah. And even though we don't see, as it says in Hebrews, all things put under him, it's going to be revealed. Amen. I'm waiting for the day when the angel places one foot on the sand, one foot on the sea, and says, let there be no more delay. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord, and he shall reign forever. Amen. See, that's when life really begins. That's when the abundant life starts to become manifested, hallelujah, around us. That's when it truly, really becomes manifest. But right now, we are living by faith. Amen. And we can still have joy. I've given that example so many times. Because you know something's coming, even though your situation may not have changed, you can still have joy. Because it's coming. And it's a guaranteed thing. It's not an if or maybe. It's just, well, when? Amen. It's coming. Hallelujah. So when were our names written? And I've taught this before in the book of life. But the Bible tells us Revelation 17:8 says, "And those who dwell on the earth will marvel whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was, is not, and yet is." What it's speaking about is the fact that when we are born, at the time we were created, our name was put in the book of life. Every reference to the book of life is always about blotting out your name. And it's what we do through life blots out our name. And if our name is not there when we die, we're in big trouble. Amen. Because your names have been blotted out in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Look at this. It says in Genesis 5:1, and we read it. It was the book of the generations. It says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. In the day they were created." Amen. So our name was put in before we were born. In Psalms 139, it says, "I knew thee before you were born." David says, when my secret parts were formulated, how God does that, they still don't know. How one cell develops into a human body with all of us different, even when we come from the same parent, is quite a mystery. They've been trying so hard to create life. They can't do that. Can't do that. All they can do is mess with life that's there. They can mess with the cell, but so far they have not been able to create from scratch life, because that comes from God. Bible speaks about the soul returneth to the one who gave. I'm talking about abundant life. Amen. He said he's going to give us life and life more abundantly. We are going to get so much more. What we're seeing is just the birth pangs. This is the travail part. You know, the woman at that point is in pain. But as soon as the baby is born, there's a smile. There's a joy. Amen. Everyone is happy because it has come to fruition. The labor has come to fruition. Amen. Psalms 69:28 tells us, "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous." Amen. We have the opportunity to keep our names through Jesus Christ in his book. Amen. That's why he said to them, you can rejoice. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be depressed. Amen. Because he has called us into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. That's why we should be, even in tribulation, we can find joy. Not that we are happy we're going through some stuff. But tribulation worketh what? Patience. And that's how we grow. Because I've been through some things, I don't get panicked now when something new comes, because I know if I wait, I know if I'm patient. What does it say? "They that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles." Amen. When we wait upon the Lord, we're starting to get into that abundant life. We're starting to show some of the principles of abundant life. When we start to trust God, it will show, because we don't get all panicky when the next thing comes along. We start to okay, I'm going to deal with this. This too shall pass. See, Solomon in his book of Ecclesiastes, he says there's a time and a season for everything. Whatever you're going through, it's just a season. It's not going to last forever. The winter doesn't last forever. Amen. It's just a season. It's just a season. So we know that when we have tribulations, when we have pressure, it's just a season. There is a time that we have to go through of travail. There is a time that we have to go through of pressing. But there will be a time of spring. There will be a time of summer. There will be a time of harvest. There will be a time of redemption. And so when we give our life to God, we ensure that our name is in the book. And that book is written by him, not by men. If it was by men, I'd have to be concerned whether they like me or not. Doesn't matter whether someone likes you, if God likes you. Amen. You know, I was teaching the PI class and we were studying the book of Daniel. And Daniel is such an awesome figure because every time the angel comes, he tells him something. He says, "Thou man greatly beloved." Every time the angel shows up, you can look in the book of Daniel, starting from chapter 8, he says, "Thou man greatly beloved, thou art highly esteemed." You see, when God says that about you, amen, you can rejoice. Doesn't matter if someone else thinks you're nothing and doesn't like you or has feelings against you. I'm greatly beloved because I'm living my abundant life. That's what John the Apostle said in his book. He called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I just love that. Of course, he wrote that, right? He wrote that. He believed Jesus loved him. He was the beloved. And he said it so much, he got the other disciples believing it too. They started asking him to ask Jesus. I'm his favorite. Did you know that? You know what your answer should be? That no, I'm his favorite. Yesterday, a friend of mine on Facebook put that he is the most blessed man in the world because of the wife he was given. And so another friend of mine said, "No, you're the second best man." Well, I couldn't leave that alone. So I put, "Nope, both of you are wrong." Do you understand? If you are in abundant life, you're his beloved. We should each think of ourselves as God's favorite. And when I look at my life, I really believe it. Really, I do. That's why I tell you, I'm doing better than I deserve. When I look back on all the miracles and things that God has done, it's truly better than I deserve. Because we can be going through some things, but we can still draw from the wells of salvation. We can have joy because we are his beloved. Beloved. Amen. I know I'm harping on this, but I'm ending this Bible study this month about abundant life. And it comes through believing what God has said. Brother Joe said in his testimony, we got to believe and act upon it. Amen. If we believe that God loves us, then we'll have joy. There's no way you can be down and upset and mad if you truly believe that God was looking down on you right now and smiling and saying, "Come, I want to give you a hug." Are you going to be mad and depressed? You're going to be mad and depressed if Jesus was here today and says, "You are my beloved." Ooh, you'd be running around this church kicking up your heels. You'd be shouting. You'd be jumping to know that he called you his beloved. The Bible tells us that no good thing will he withhold from them that he loves. Amen. And I'm talking about abundant life. Our name is written in the book of the living. It says in Psalm 69:28, those who don't believe, their names are going to be blotted out and not to be written with the righteous. Mark 12:27 says, "He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living." They came to him saying, you know, about which man is going to marry this person, and what about, the resurrection? Because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And Jesus just shut them up. He said, "But don't you know that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living?" He was saying that Abraham, at least in spirit form, is not dead. Isaac is not dead. He is going to resurrect everybody bodily. Amen. Because that's the part of the abundant life. Amen. "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous." My name is in the book of life. Your name, if you have been baptized and filled with his spirit, is in the book of life. Amen. I just want to remind you of that fact. Whatever you're going through right now, you are his beloved. You are his beloved. Amen. So the key to understanding is this. Exodus chapter 32, verse 32. He says, "Yet now, if you will forgive their sin." This is Moses. Israel has messed up and done some terrible things, and God is mad with them. But Moses is acting as an intercessor. And he's referring to the book of life. He says, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. You see, that book, as I've said, is only written by God. He is the one that tells you when your time is up and when your time is not up. I went to visit Brother Tony yesterday. Well, yeah, we visited a couple times. And the news the doctors are giving him is not good. But here's the thing. They're not God. The next day, the same doctor that had told him some negative things, Sister Longoria told me, came back and said, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that to you because I don't know. I don't know what God's going to do. Amen. She is a living witness. Amen. He writes that book. He doesn't even allow the prophets to write that book. He doesn't allow anyone to write that book of life but him. Amen. Exodus 32, 33 says this, and the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. What he said to Moses, listen, I'm going to hear your prayer. I'm not going to destroy everyone, but I'm going to bring judgment on those who deserve it. You know, a lot of people think that they get away with stuff because nothing happens right away. But I've told many people this year, you don't have to worry and fret. Vengeance belongeth to me, saith the Lord. You don't have to do nothing, actually. You don't have to do nothing because the Bible tells us that God is the judge. And he's not a cheating, lying judge. He's a just judge, a God of justice. Amen. Psalms 19 says his law is perfect. Amen. So when God does something, it's going to be perfect. You don't have to do nothing. Because here he tells Moses, okay, Moses, I'm not going to destroy all of the people of Israel, but listen, those who are guilty, I'm going to blot them out of my book. You understand that you get blotted out of the book of life. Deuteronomy 29:20, the Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in the book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. That's a sad thing when God does that, because there is no appeal to that. As I've said before, some of the saddest verses is when God told Samuel, don't pray for Saul anymore. For King Saul anymore. Don't pray for him because I have rejected him. I am not going to hear your prayer on that. I've rejected him. That's such a sad verse because there is no hope when God rejects you. Amen. The Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. But here's the thing. Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh and the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. What am I trying to say? As I was trying to show you, it's your name gets blotted out. Everybody who is born, God is no respecter of person. He doesn't choose favorites. It's according to your works. It's what you do. It's how you respond. But everybody's name starts out in the book of life and it gets blotted out. That's why we need to make sure, the Bible says, our calling and election sure. I want to be sure. I want to be making sure that when my name is called, it's called out of the right book. Not the book of the judgment of the dead, but out of the book of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why, you know, sometimes people come and ask me, they want to baptize babies. And I said, we don't believe in baptizing babies. We don't teach in baptizing babies. And the reason is that until they come to the age of understanding, they're not guilty. Right? They're not guilty. God is not going to send a baby to hell. No, that's not the kind of God he is. God is a God of what? Love. Amen. Job 3:11. So here's what Job said when he was looking at going through all his troubles and going through all his struggles. He said this, why died I not from the womb? He was saying, if I died from the womb, then my place would be safe. My name would still be in the book. That's what he was trying to say. Wish I had died in the womb. Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? For now, should I have lain still and been quiet, I should have slept, then I had been at rest. When babies die, they're not going to hell. You see what it says? Rest. It doesn't say torment, does it? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. That's what I'm trying to show you, that when God is a God of love and of justice. Amen. Or as an hidden untimely birth, I had not been as infants which never saw the light. There the wicked cease from troubling and the weary be at rest. He's saying that if a baby dies, they're not in torment. They're not in hell. They're at rest. They're at rest. In fact, Jesus said, unless you become converted and become like a little child, you can't enter. And what did he go on to say? For such is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So Job was saying, I wish I had died as a baby before I understood wrong and right and good and evil, because then I wouldn't be judged. I'd be going straight. My name would still be in the book. You see, my name would still be in the book. And thanks be to God that there is another book. You know, many times I've had to preach some funerals of people I don't know nothing about. I don't know their state. And I can't be God. I can't put them in heaven. And I don't put them in hell. That's not my place. I told someone this week, I'm not your judge. I'm not your judge. They were telling me all the things that they're doing right now. And I said, well, that's good, but I'm not your judge. I'm not here to judge you. Jesus said, I'm not judging you now. The words that I speak shall be your judge. You know, repentance and salvation is a personal thing. Life is a personal thing. I can't really share my life with you. There's some things you can donate. Did you know that? We are given two kidneys. We can donate a kidney and still live. But there's some things we can't donate. You can't donate a heart and still live. It's personal. You understand? So your relationship with God is personal. You can't donate that to anyone else. That's part of the abundant life. We have to come to the place where our name stays in the right book. Revelation 20, verse 12, and I'm trying to wind this up. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, plural, were open, and another book. I'm so grateful for that other book, because that's the only hope sometimes when I'm at a funeral and I'm doing a funeral of someone I have no knowledge of. They may not have been baptized in Jesus' name. They may not have been filled with the Spirit. But God is so merciful that he's willing, even at the white throne judgment, to open the book of life and take a look and see if someone's name is in there, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. But there, it's going to be according to your works. In the whole entire Bible, there's only two people that God didn't have anything negative to say. Of the thousands, the millions of people, only two people in the whole Bible are not mentioned negatively, and that's Enoch and Daniel. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not, for he was taken. And Daniel, as I've told you before, every time the angel came, he said, thou art highly esteemed. Imagine when God respects you. Imagine when God respects you. You know why? Daniel was taken as a teenager and some horrible things were done to him. He was made a eunuch. He could have gotten bitter and mad. And you know, for men, that's such an important part of our image, our maleness. And he could have been bitter and angry and said, look at what's happened. I didn't cause all of this sin. I didn't do all of this mess. And yet he was so consistent. When the law was passed, you better stop praying. He didn't change. He could have shut his window and still prayed. No, he left his window open and still prayed the same way three times a day. That's why God said, the angel came and said, thou art highly esteemed. When God can say you're highly esteemed, amen. When he can say you're his beloved, amen. You're in some abundant life, hallelujah. So we have to get to this place here where our name stays in the book of life, where we're not looking to get God to be sad. The Bible says that grieve not the Holy Spirit. Even though we're Christians, we can grieve his heart through many things, through unbelief. I think that's what makes God the saddest, is when we doubt that he loves us. When we go to other things instead of him. In other words, we're idols. We worship. Because instead of going to God, we go to other things to meet and fulfill the role that God wants us to have. Amen. You understand that he said to the children, "But let the children come unto me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Reason is because their names are in the book of life. They have not come to the knowledge of good and evil. And the proof of that is in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39, when the children of Israel were always complaining, always making trouble for Moses. Always. Do you know God has brought us so far? You may feel you're in a wilderness, but you're still not in Egypt. You've left Egypt, right? You may not have all the things you want, but you're not a slave anymore. Amen. You shouldn't be a slave to sin. But they were always complaining, and they said to Moses, "Oh, I wish we were back in Egypt. Oh, I wish." And God got so mad with them when they came the first time to the promised land because of their lack of faith. He said, "Okay, you won't enter in." Sometimes we get so discouraged and our faith drops that we grieve God's spirit. And it was the children, because they just believed. Here's what it says. "Moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey." That means they said, you brought us out here and all our children are going to get eaten and killed by wild animals. "The children which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in." That's why we've got to get to that state where we don't have feelings against people. We're just like little children. All we know is that God said it, and it's just a matter of when, not if. Amen. "But your children, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it." The Bible says in Isaiah 28:9, and why I'm reading this, I'm talking about what keeps our name in the book. It's being innocent. It's becoming converted like a little child. That's what Jesus said. "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." In other words, you can't teach knowledge to a baby. And what the scripture is saying, sometimes the knowledge we're getting corrupts us. We need to put down that tree knowledge and just trust God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Put down the tree knowledge and just trust God. Amen. So Christ came. 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling, that means bringing back. Now, here's the point why I highlighted that. You can't bring back something that was never there. What it's showing is we all started innocent, in fellowship with God. That's why as we have grown and we get corrupted with the tree knowledge, Christ came to bring us back. Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing, that means not writing it down, the trespasses unto them that hath committed us, unto us the word of reconciliation. That's what we do. We're telling people, listen, God loves you. You can come back. You can be saved. You can be delivered. You can be healed. Amen. If you could stand with me. It means to restore. God wants us to restore so that we can have our name in the book and stay in the book. Amen. Third time I'm reading this scripture. He that overcometh, and it is a fight, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Amen. We've been studying this whole month on abundant life. And I hope that some of the scriptures and the words have encouraged us, amen, that we should even today have joy if you believe your name is in the book of life. I'd be sad to leave my friends, but listen, if I find myself in heaven, I don't think I can be crying too much, amen. What I want is everyone that's here to come with me. That's what I want. There's a song we used to sing, "Will the circle be unbroken by and by?" That would be the only sad part, to know that there's people you know that you didn't try harder. You didn't reach out harder to let them know this was real and that they could be saved and that they could be delivered. That would be the only sadness I would have, that we had not let people know that their name can be written in the book of life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, church, that Jesus is coming back soon. And he's coming back, the Bible says, for a bride without spot and wrinkle. And we want to make sure, the Bible says, make our calling and election sure. There shouldn't be any doubts about it. There shouldn't be any ifs, ands, or buts. We should make sure. And we can do that very easily. Amen. It said, they that meditated in the book of remembrance, they that thought often upon his words. It's very easy to make sure. It's whatever our mind is. They that are led by the Spirit, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, this morning, Lord, we come to you. Lord, in all humility, we bow down before you. Lord, we ask you, Lord God, to help our hearts and our faith to rise, to know that we are your beloved, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Not because of our works, oh God, but because of your death on Calvary, because of your covering Spirit. Hallelujah. Because of your grace. Lord, we have the opportunity today to walk worthy, hallelujah, oh God, to come before your throne with boldness. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to help us to start living that abundant life by faith, Lord God, to have a joy that this world cannot understand or know. Lord, we come to you this morning, oh God, oh hallelujah, to lift up your name. We're asking you for a blessing in our second service, for an anointing that breaks every yoke. Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, for your Holy Spirit and the rivers of living water that you have poured out upon our lives. We thank you for blessing by faith. We claim healing today, Lord, for all those who are sick and distraught and in despair. Lord, let their faith rise to trust you, hallelujah, and to draw with joy from the wells of salvation. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name.